The NAR Code of Ethics is the foundation on which realtors' reputation rests in their communities. Realtors are required to attend Code of Ethics training every 3 years to stay current. On today's show, we talk with one of the instructors in those classes, Caroline Boland, for the first of a two-part series. She explains the origin of the code and why it's so important to realtors and their clients. You can listen in on that conversation starting right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sanville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sanville, here in the studio of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here in the studio, as usual, with our producer and director of communication and marketing, Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, that's me.
How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well.
Good. You're bright and sunny.
I am bright and sunny, just like our guest.
That's right.
We're going to talk about ethics today. And by the way, this is a show where we talk about all things real estate. If you're a realtor, this is definitely the show for you. That's kind of our core audience, but we have lots of spillover into topics that will be of interest to home buyers, home sellers, or even home dwellers. So if you fit into any of those categories, you are going to hear something of use or interest to you. Today's topic, ethics, as I mentioned, is actually a universally recognized part of any good, solid business or organization. Ethics is where it's at in the real estate business in particular. So we are pleased to have an expert at ethics and someone who lives the ethical lifestyle, Caroline Boland. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you. It is so good to be here again with both of you.
Yes.
Welcome back again.
Thank you. Yeah, you were in the studio with us a few months ago where we talked about other real estate topics. And Caroline, if you don't know her, and if you're a realtor in Fort Myers, you very likely do because she is a real estate instructor. She is a Florida licensed broker and has her own firm here in town. And she's been at this for a couple of years, so she knows her stuff. You've probably, Caroline, taught ethics to thousands of people, correct?
Probably by this point, especially over the last couple of years, we've done this both online, live stream, webinar. We're back to in person, and the code of ethics applies to anybody that belongs to a realtor association. Starting at the top, your national organization is called NAR, the National Association of Realtors. Then there's the state level here in Florida. We call it FAR, the Florida Association of Realtors. And we are talking here from the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, RPCRA, as we refer to it. So anyone locally here that belongs to RPCRA also belongs to FAR and NAR. Mm-hmm. If you're listening from out of state, no doubt your ethics requirement is the same because it is a national requirement administered at the local level.
Let's start at the beginning. I don't know how, if you have progress in a linear fashion in your classroom, but let's do that here. Tell me about the history of the Code of Ethics for the realtor business.
I'm happy to. And actually, we begin the course, and I hesitate to even call it a course. It's a requirement that comes up frequently in the lifespan of a realtor. When you join a realtor association, it begins with your orientation, but you're also, as you progress forward, we're on a 3-year cycle right now. So even if you're not new to real estate, you've had to have completed your code of ethics training in the last 3 years. Previously, it was a 4-year requirement, then a 2-year. They've settled in on 3 for now. But before we even talk about becoming a realtor, let's start with a licensee. If anyone can think back, or if you're listening and thinking about a career in real estate, it begins on the state level with probably an application. Here in Florida, it's an application, fingerprints, completing a course, and then passing a state exam. In order to activate your license, you need to join a brokerage. And the majority of brokerages belong to NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and then trickle down locally, as we talked about. So when you join the Realtor Association, this is when the Code of Ethics comes into play, but it ties hand in hand with the term realtor, and that's capital R, trademark, because this is what separates you from someone with just a real estate license. The Code of Ethics is at the very heart and core of the National Association of Realtors. NAR was formed in 1908. 5 years later, 1913, the Code of Ethics was established, and that was after medicine, engineering, and law. So we're talking about very formidable careers here. And it has been in existence since that time. In fact, it's had changes just about every year since 1989. But what happens to a member is typically upon a new member orientation or joining a realtor association, you go through 3 hours of training, and the 3 hours of training encompasses the 17 articles that comprise the Code of Ethics as well as standards of practice. It's repeated every 3 years because, again, changes occur, but it really is central to you saying, I'm a realtor, and that you are expressing to your public, your peers, and also the property. There's the three areas that the code encompasses: respect and care for the public, property, and peer group. Mm-hmm. You're saying here that I uphold the Code of Ethics. How I treat you is just as important as the law. Mm-hmm. Law and ethics are not the same. Law is essentially, and maybe if you're in the middle of a court proceeding, you don't believe so, but it's a little more cut and dry. You broke the law or you didn't. Ethics really goes back to, how do you treat people? How do you make them feel? The saying we mention all the time is, certain acts may be legal, but unethical.
Mm. Sounds like almost a soft skill where it's all gray area. Not all gray area, but a lot of gray area, right?
Well, it's a very soft skill, but if you think about it, if a person is involved in a real estate transaction, can you imagine a bigger decision or a bigger impact on one's life than the real estate transaction, which typically involves your emotions, your livelihood, your idea for the future, and the most amount of money you're probably going to lay down in one single day? It's a very heavy topic. And you think about when people, and especially now, I think the Code of Ethics could not be more relevant than it is right now as we get to the tail end of 2021. When folks are making a decision to move, it impacts so many things. It might not just be their own family, their extended family, their employment. Am I working from home? Am I not working from home? School. Money, it's everything. And all of us have had significant changes to our lives since the pandemic. Mm. And people are making decisions about how they want to see their life going forward. And I can think of no other product that touches you in that fashion. So the Code of Ethics is absolutely essential. If you don't mind, I'd like to read you an excerpt from the preamble. The preamble Please. Means the beginning from the Code of Ethics. Take the glasses off to read. That's a whole nother story. But
yeah, that's unusual. But
you know, I think about these folks in 1913 and thinking about how different the United States was in 1913. And they're starting out their Code of Ethics by saying, you know, just don't do what we say. But they're saying, this is why it matters so much to us working in real estate. Under all is the land. Upon its wise utilization and widely allocated ownership depend the survival and growth of free institutions and our civilization. Realtors, capital R trademark, should recognize that the interests of the nation and its citizens require the highest and best use of the land and the widest distribution of land ownership. They require the creation of adequate housing, the building of functioning cities, the development of productive industries and farms, and the preservation of a healthful environment. Whew.
Wow.
That's a heavy responsibility.
Yeah, that preamble lays out some pretty solid core beliefs.
And that's, so when someone says, hey, I work in real estate, I sell houses, like, take a look at what is really all wrapped up in that housing conversation. And you don't hear about this part on the reality shows and all the, you know, crazy stuff like that. But the bottom line is, I mean, this is primal as I see it. Mm. This is, you know, a basic need. And we are paid, we are compensated to be involved in the transaction, but with that is a heavy responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. How is the code of ethics that NAR adopted in 1913, how is that structured? How is it a big document?
Well, I'm taking a look at it right now, and
that's
yes, it's a pretty big document. It encompasses 17 articles, and anyone, whether you are a member or not, you can Google Realtor Code of Ethics and take a look at it for sure. But it's Code of Ethics and Standard of Practice of the National Association of Realtors, and it's 17 articles, and it begins with the duties to clients and customers. It goes on to the duties to the public, and then duties to the property, and duties to other realtors. With that are standards of practice within the article. So the article is more or less a general category and statement, and then the standards of practice narrows down, almost think of it as a manual or a guide.
You know, it's more granular.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And what typically happens in the Code of Ethics training is it's a review of, let's take a look at the articles, let's take a look at any changes. But what is most I would call it fun. It's fun for me, but is most fun and thought-provoking is case studies or questions or situations. I love real-life situations. We don't even need to make any case studies up here. Can anybody raise their hand and tell me a situation of where something happened in the real estate transaction or with the engagement with the customer, and you're like, yeah, you know, I don't know. And usually it all begins with, we kind of make a little laugh in class that, you know, when your first thought is it okay if something's needling you? And you have to think about how your own ethical compass has been formed. It's not just formed by the National Association of Realtors. It's a lifetime. It's things you experience as a child, your community values, your family values, maybe religious values, maybe things, for me, what tends to stick out are the things that have happened along the way that I didn't like. And, you know, you've probably, you know, how many times have you heard a kid say, it's not fair, or you know, that's not right. And you might be correct that it's not fair or right, but you know, the lesson really is then make sure you don't behave that way.
So,
you know, we can't correct all wrongs in the world, that's for sure. But
yeah, no, absolutely. But if you were to boil down the entire Code of Ethics into one statement, it might be do the right thing.
Yeah, it's the golden rule. It says so right from the beginning. And a colleague of mine, he puts it this way, and I've stolen his line because it's so good. He used to say, you know, the golden rule, do unto others as, you know, you would want done to you. And he said, forget how you would treat me. Do unto others as you would expect your mother to be treated.
I love it.
Because it really, like, it's a good one. And we are in the midst of wild times regarding any sort of ethical conversation combined with legal conversations, not just in real estate, but turn on the news. You know, any channel you turn on, there's drama, there's debate, there's angst, there's opposition going on.
Division at times.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely. And we hear about ethics hearings and ethics panels. And again, it's that separation, you know, law and then ethics. And law can be, you might not agree with the law, but if it says this or says that, where ethics is, when it comes to feelings, different folks have different sensitivities.
Is ethics, as it pertains to real estate, sometimes like a Supreme Court justice described pornography? I know it when I see it. I can't give you a definition.
That's a great, great question, because so much of what causes an ethics issue is a subjective comment, complaint, or feeling. However, there is a process akin to the law, not exactly right, but there's due process. So if one would ever feel they are the victim of unethical behavior, or one is ever accused of ethical behavior, there is a process to how that is sorted out. And It's a long process. It's a serious process because accusations are being made. But if one were to file an ethics complaint against a realtor, there is a very long process, but it's very thorough, that ultimately boils down to a panel, and a panel making a decision based on the facts that were presented. Is there an ethical violation here or not? And if the answer is yes, here's the consequences. And there's even an appeal process should you disagree. So it does run somewhat parallel to a legal proceeding.
And these accusations, or whatever the right word might be, can come from either the public, the buying and selling public, as well as realtors
or
other stakeholders in a transaction.
And interesting, so let's just say, I'll give you the number one, well, one of the number one complaints. It's kind of funny to me because the Code of Ethics was written, as I said, 1913. Would you agree that our ways of communicating have improved since 1913? Okay. Do most toddlers know how to operate a cell phone? Okay.
Sure.
Number one complaint, National Association of Realtors since the 1950s, agents don't return their phone calls. Okay. Agents don't return their phone calls, which seems preposterous since, you know, most people that I know have more than one phone. So let's break it down. Is that a legal problem? Is there any law that says how soon you have to return your phone call? No. Might you be rude? Might you be insensitive? Sure. Is that an ethical problem? Maybe, maybe not. What if it is determined that the agent is only returning phone calls from folks that might further their commission interests?
What if the agent's defense is, or her defense is, I told them I prefer texts, not phone calls. It's a lot more efficient.
Well,
would that wash?
My answer to everything is document, document, document. And again, so you'd have to pick through the Code of Ethics. There's no Code of Ethics that says you have to return your phone calls within X amount of time. But if your actions are demonstrating that perhaps you're tipping the situation to one person or another, then you'd have to pick through the Code of Ethics and say, I think there was a violation here. Interestingly enough, and I'm glad you mentioned text, a little side note here, those of you that are in Florida listening, please, please, please plug into the new changes that have been made to our contracts, the sales contracts. And one huge change, since you mentioned it, is that text communication is not an acceptable form of communication as it relates to the purchase and sale contract. And that's a great big one there.
Too ephemeral, or what's the idea?
Email, fax, you know, some other form of communication, but if you say okay via text, that is not contractually binding.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'll fax you later. Yeah. We'll have lunch.
But just a note, since you mentioned that, and that's think about it. There was no texting, there was no faxing, there was no cell phone, but there are communication expectations, and it really boils down to, which is kind of funny to me, the notion of, it starts right from the beginning by saying everyone must be honest and fair. Well, that's a lovely thought, but does everyone have the same definition of honesty and fairness?
Sure.
I still remember my grandma when the kids used to come in screaming and yelling about some melee in the backyard, you know. That's not fair. And she's saying, the only place you're going to find fair in this house is in the dictionary, and I'll get outside. But I mean, it's that, you see how this gets unraveled quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, Caroline. So if you'll stick with us, I'd appreciate it. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
Hi, this is Sheena Reagan with the Mike Lombardo team at Old Glory Realty, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Josh Cadillac, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Do you know a student who could use help with college tuition? Well, if you're a realtor and you have children, this may be for you. The Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has announced the creation of the Kevin Williamson Scholarship Program for sons and daughters of realtors who are pursuing higher education. To qualify, students must be Florida residents and have at least one parent who's a realtor. Scholarships start at $1,000, and applicants are judged based on extracurricular activities, financial need, and other criteria. This program is named in memory of our late president-elect, Kevin Williamson, who was well known in the community for his generous support of those in need. For eligibility and criteria information, visit the rpcra.org website. click on the magnifying glass search icon, type in scholarship, and press enter. Then click on scholarship from results. We wish the best of luck to all. We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking ethics with Caroline Boland, who is an expert in the topic. She teaches a course in ethics here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association and elsewhere as well. So, Caroline, we were talking about the Code of Ethics, been around since 1913, developed by the National Association of Realtors. Now, I guess it was sort of developed during the age of the muckraking journalist when Sinclair Lewis was exposing the dangers of meat, the meatpacking industry, things like that. Do you think that's where it came from, that energy?
That and really coming off of antitrust, too, as well as commissions and price fixing. And, you know, the world was changing at a rapid pace, and we're still a very young country. And, you know, the idea was, you know, how do we make it the best it can be for everyone?
Yep. So they came up with 17 articles in the Code of Ethics, and that includes the processes broken down into a more granular level beneath them. But can you kind of go through the 17 articles very briefly, touch on some of the highlights that people ought to know about?
Sure. Well, first of all, it begins with duties to clients and customers. And the reason the word client and customer is used is because it's a national document. So it means understand your brokerage relationship. Here in Florida, the default brokerage relationship is transaction broker, so the correct term would be customer. So articles, it goes all the way, articles 1 through 9 have to do with your customers, okay, and has to do with a whole lot to do with disclosure. You know, if you have an interest in the property, for example, let's say it's an investment property that you're selling and it's an LLC, but you are a part of that LLC and you're also selling the property, then you need to disclose it. Doesn't mean that you can or can't. I mean, it's perfectly okay, but again, it's knowledge. It's so that person on the other side knows that you have more interest than just trying to sell the property. That's just one simple example. When you go on to Article 10, that's duties to the public, because not everyone that you encounter is going to be your customer. You know, we deal with a lot of folks here, and many of the folks that we deal with are represented by other agents. We still have an ethical duty to those folks as well. One thing that changed this year, this was a pretty significant change. It came about the end of 2020. This is Article 10. Now, Article 10 has to do, it parallels federal legislation in many ways. It has to do with discrimination. And federal fair housing says, and this is law, we do not discriminate on race, religion, color, sex, national origin, familial status, or handicap. Well, in 2014, National Association of Realtors added sexual orientation and gender identity to folks where equal representation and protection is provided. We didn't need a federal law to say you can't discriminate based on these categories. It was added by the National Association of Realtors in 2014. So that's an example of here where our ethical document exceeds the law. Now, in 2020, this is interesting. It's actually Standard of Practice 10.5. Article 10 is all about providing equal professional services. Realtors must not use harassing speech, hate speech, epithet, or slurs based on race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status, national origin, sexual orientation, or gender identity. So this extended to language, not just in terms of providing your services, but how you speak to folks, whether it's your customer or not. And I just look at it interesting, the timing of adding this. You know, we're coming off of a year of most people being isolated, most folks being at home. Obviously, when the Code of Ethics was written, the internet didn't exist. And the world had gone pretty wild by the end of 2020, regardless of which side of the aisle you sit on, in terms of, you know, people saying pretty horrible things to each other. And this is saying you're not going to use any of that sort of language as respects your business dealings here. So, you know, you kind of think, well, gee, you really have to have an article to say that, but apparently so. And here's the thing, the changes are not made lightly. I can only imagine the committee meetings, and I'm not a big fan of huge, long, drawn-out meetings, but I can only imagine any change to this is really a significant undertaking, but I guess it was felt it was necessary to be perfectly clear that, you know, if you're talking in this manner, regardless if we're talking about a real estate transaction here, your membership might be at risk here. So now, within that, and I've read plenty, there's controversy with adding that because, well, who defines hate speech? Who defines language? You know, there's a lot of people that say, is NAR getting too close to the Bill of Rights? You know, I don't know. But it's just food for thought. And that's what I find interesting about all of this is all of this is certainly worth a discussion. And which brings me to me what the beauty is of getting together to talk about this, which, okay, we know it's a requirement as part of our membership. But lately, and I think a lot of us have been really happy to be back in the classroom and be spending times with folks, we've had great discussions in our ethics classes as we get ready for the year-end renewal date. And, you know, it's been nice to be able to exchange ideas and have a different point of view and use some of these topics that don't have a perfectly simple yes or no answer and really involve in some conversation that's relevant to our profession, our professionalism, and really have civilized dialogue. It's really been a good time. It's really been nice. And that's what I think a lot of this should do. And I encourage people beyond having to take the class or fulfilling your requirement. Your National Association of Realtors puts out a magazine called Realtors here in Florida. They put out one called Florida Realtors. Often they have an ethical dilemma as part of the magazine. You know, take it to your offices. You know, have it at your next broker meeting. And it's a nice practice, again, to get into having perhaps civilized disagreement. Because ethics, you're not going to get the whole group to say, well, I think this or I think that. But to be able to get back in the practice of having a decent conversation and some enlightenment as well. The best thing I get out of teaching, and it doesn't matter what the course is, but I'll use ethics as the example here, is I walk away from every single class with a new insight or a new thought. And to me, it's what keeps this business so absolutely interesting.
What's a recent example of an ethical dilemma someone has posed in one of your classes where it really made you think and you weren't quite sure where you came down?
A great example, and it's going on, I think, in every classroom and almost every building or any place that you can be with another human, and it's been masks. You know, we have... there's a huge, obviously, legal and ethical debate going on in the country. You know, can I be forced to be vaccinated? Can I be forced to wear a mask? Can the government tell me what to do, et cetera, et cetera? Well, when it comes down to real estate, let's look at a seller that wants to market their home. And the seller says, you can come to my home, you can bring your buyer to my home, but your buyer must wear a mask. And your buyer says, I'm not wearing a mask. Are you kidding? I think this is all a hoax or whatever they're thinking. I don't know. And the bottom line is it got very heated in class when we were discussing this. Because just like everything, I shouldn't say everything, but if you pay any attention to social media, it doesn't take long to, you know, jump the shark. You know, you're going into something that you had no idea what you're talking about. But I remember a student raised her hand, and I loved her comment. And she said, haven't we always been able to say, remove your shoes? or no showings on Sunday because the seller respects Sunday as a day of, you know, privacy and family and worship.
Ground rules, yeah.
And nobody lost their mind over taking their shoes off at the front door or putting a booty on at the front door. And what's so different about the masks? And yeah, you think if you, and I just thought it was gold. I mean, light bulb went off that it's, and if you're, the buyer refuses and they don't see the house, or, you know, would they be agreeable to a FaceTime, or, you know, there's all kinds of things we can do, but it's still the seller's house. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting.
So what happens if a realtor understands all of this and yet the potential buyer says, I'm just not going to do that. Can I just stick my head in and look at this one room, in and out real quick? What does a realtor do in that situation?
Well, if that happens, and all depends on what gets back to the homeowner or the other agent or what happens. But, you know, potentially there could be a violation, and you're going to want to go through the 17 articles. You know, we left off at, you know, I was talking about Article 10, but Article 10 goes all the way up, and that has to do with, you know, protection to the public. Goes all the way up to Article 14, and then 15, 16, and 17 have to do with duties to other realtors. So if you felt that happened, and if you felt that the other realtor, you know, recklessly brought their customer in despite, you know, the ground rules that were set, you'd want to pick through the articles and see, was there a violation here, and what standards of practice were violated. Now, ultimately, the first thing we like to always suggest, just as a real estate community here, is, you know, let's try to work it out. Let's try to, you know, calm everybody down. You know, I'm a huge advocate of get your brokers involved. You know, brokers don't know what every single agent is doing at all times. You know, use the strength of your broker. Many realtor associations have what's known as an ombudsman. An ombudsman is basically a peacekeeper to try to bring everybody together. But if things go haywire and don't look like they can be solved employing either of these methods, then you file an ethics complaint. Hmm. And it's significant. It's a document that asks you to cite articles, standards of practice, supply evidence. It then goes to a grievance committee. And the grievance committee takes a look and says, do we see potential violation? If so, then it goes to professional standards. And then it takes the form essentially almost of a hearing. It's called due process. Mm. And ultimately, if one is charged, you know, they have the idea to respond or the opportunity to respond. If a judgment is made by the committee, there's an appeal process. It could result in fines, sanctions, additional education. You know, you hope it never gets there. And the best way to prevent it from getting there is don't look at your ethics course as, you know, an obligation or a chore, but go with it with an open mind, open eyes, be actively involved, and, you know, keep a copy of the Code of Ethics at your desk. I mean, it's what, we are a largely unregulated business. We are a business that depends on doing the right thing, treating people the right way. And when people don't, government gets involved. And when government gets involved and tells you how to run your business, the party's over.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a huge responsibility, if you go back to the preamble. But I think it's something we should all be proud of. And it's just more than selling house. It's more than house hunters, or it's more than the million-dollar listers, you know, throwing drinks in each other's faces on TV. You know, it's it can be wildly satisfying and fulfilling. And when you bring it all together with a transaction that you know you've changed a life, you feel very good about what you're doing in this business.
Hmm. Not to send you down a rabbit hole or bring you down one with me, but one thing that has popped into my head is, When I looked at one of the houses I bought, this was 1998, I was an early adopter of digital cameras. So I brought my camera and I started snapping pictures throughout the homes I looked at. And no one said a word about it until one day someone said, no, it's not allowed. You can't do that. And I respected that, of course, as the buyer. But nowadays, I hate saying nowadays, by the way, don't you? Nowadays.
When I had to walk uphill to school in that snow-covered mountain with no shoes on, and, you know, yeah, I know.
In 2021/22, because this is going to appear right between the 2 years. People have cameras in their home. You go into my house, there are security cameras, and is that ethical? Can you record the people looking at your house, and can they take pictures of your house?
Oh, that's a great, great question. You're absolutely right. But that's a collision. There are now probably more than when they first came out. Now there are actual laws. It's called video voyeurism. There's laws surrounding, and it goes both ways. You go to look at a house, and the person in the home has cameras. Mm-hmm. You, as a buyer, go into a house and start taking pictures. So it crosses both lines there, but there is a lot of law now covering unwanted surveillance, is what it's called. And a lot of it came out of the drone photography. Mm-hmm. So if you think back to when, it wasn't that long ago, it used to be this little sporty thing. Well, then guess what? Drones make great real estate photography, especially here in Florida. If you can say, hey, look, the beach is just over there. It's only an inch away. That's what it looks like on the... Yeah. But if you're catching the neighbor's kids in the pool while you're taking that drone shot, there's a problem.
Well, my wife and I were sitting on the lanai a couple of nights ago. We live on a canal, and a drone zipped by and stopped right in front of our house. It was maybe 75 feet from our faces, just hovering right there, and I'm sure that somebody was watching us. I just felt violated.
Well, that you would probably have, there's definitely legal concerns, but then ethical concerns, if you were very clear, you know, did you tell your agent that, and did they do their best to indicate that through in the listing or confidential comments, or have they made notice? You know, it's a two-way street. There's so much of the code of ethics that has to do with communication and disclosure.
But would I, as the seller, have to turn off my security cameras while someone's looking at my house?
No, you just need, you should have it posted clearly. Either the camera should be clearly visible, or you should have it posted.
Video surveillance.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. That's
so
exactly right.
Disclosed, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And this is, again, it's kind of funny, but code of ethics is a 3-year requirement, but it's also, for many folks, part of here in Florida, you have a 14-hour continuing education, and you can double dip both. If you take your code of ethics and take it as part of your 14-hour CE, you've covered both categories. But the other component of the 14-hour CE is core law. Mm-hmm. So that's where we bring up what's changed legally since the last time you've come through. Because again, all of this electronic surveillance, this wasn't a factor for the vast majority of the time the National Association of Realtors has been in existence.
Sure, yeah.
You know, there's a whole thing going on now, animals, service animals, emotional support animals. Now there's law, but then, you know, it's things change. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, a certainty. Mm-hmm. The only certain aspect of real estate is things change. But, you know, education is the key to everything. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in lockstep agreement, but to know, you know, is important. Or if nothing else, you know, it's great when folks come to class and they've now identified a resource, or they didn't know what resources their association was providing to them, mm-hmm. and they learned through coming to a class. So it's a win-win. It really is.
Sure.
It's a great time.
Sure. We have just a couple of minutes left, Caroline, and you've already agreed to appear with us for a second show. So we're going to do a kind of a part one, part two here. It's a big topic, ethics. The more we talk about it here, the more I realize that you could make an evening out of this discussion. But so any other points before we end the show in a couple of minutes that you'd like to make sure we cover here?
Be engaged, participate, keep the conversation alive at your brokerage offices. Ask questions. But, you know, again, document. And in this day and age right now, because you know, we are in a very fast and furious real estate environment right now. I know it's going on countrywide, but Florida's absolute fire. And folks are having to make quick decisions, or they're getting emotional or competitive about, you know, they want to win. You know, they've been disappointed. They've lost out in the last 4 homes, so I'm going to get this one no matter what. There was a recent piece on the national news, which it worries me when things are on the national news because people take one snippet and run with it forever. But it had to do with a woman that lost out on several homes. And she said, I'm going to get this last one, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to get it. I'm going to waive my home inspection. So the news took off, and oh my gosh, she moved in, and here's a bunch of things that's wrong with the house. And her closing comment was, there should be a law against this, you know, with the newscaster shaking her head. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know. I hope her agent documented well. I hope her agent pointed out the decisions that were available to her. But we know we're targets in this business. And mm-hmm. and frankly, the whole world is a target. You know, kind of the flavor of the day is whose fault is it? You know, no matter what happens. So again, I just was very, I could think of 100 things I wanted to say when I was watching that on TV. But the bottom line is I think we need to be educated, prepared, and it's very, very interesting times. But as was said to me when I was first licensed 12 years ago, do you want to be in it for a minute or do you want to last a lifetime? And if you want to last a lifetime, you get involved and you pay attention and you follow that golden rule. But, you know, times two. Treat people how you'd expect folks to treat your mom.
Be a decent, good person, and you'll be okay, I think. Hey, Caroline, interesting discussion. I'm looking forward to the kind of the second part of our talk here, and I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. You folks do great work, and I really appreciate the time spent with you.
Now, conversations like this make it a joy for me, and I think Jerry to come
into work. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's always interesting. All right. Hey, my name is Jim Sandville. Jerry Johnson's with us. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jim.
And we're going to wrap it up. But I want to thank our staff here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association for all of their support. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please send us an email to shows@rpcra.org. We'd be pleased to hear from you. We'll look forward to seeing you again with Caroline next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.